Yeah, just
so just stand by.
You will see this go will go
it's
so
real easy,
fast.
Yeah. Okay, I got it.
We love you.
Hang
don't
tight.
Worry. I'm
love
so,
you too.
So excited.
Okay.
Silence, please.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa and Jonathan Todd right here on LA Talk Radio.
My gosh, today is the most exciting interview ever. I think we are all in LA, and what can I say? Sun is beautiful, but we have our beautiful guest, and my guest is in Paris, and it's a 3 in the morning. Sun is going down in Paris. Here, no, sun is coming up in Paris.
Sun is going down in Los Angeles, California.
Hi. Ian.
Hi.
Ian.
Hi, Ilona. Okay, hi, Jonathan.
It's just so cute because right now we open door in our radio studio room for Vladek Yushkevich, who
Vladek Yushkevich.
Our another wonderful guest, and he is the director of Polish Film Festival. Also.
Yes, hello, Vladek.
Vladek is just putting headphones. Oh, Vladeczku, you can go closer to the phone. Ian wants to say hi to you.
Hello, Ian.
Can you hear? 1 second, Jonathan is setting up microphone right now. Can you say hi, Ian? Can you say Vladek hi?
Hi, Ian. How are you?
Hi, Vladek. How are you? It's nice to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Okay. This interview is just very close to my heart. I have. I need to also look at my friend. I have Stephanie Mack here. Stephanie Mack is my right and left hand sometimes. And sometimes she's
yes.
in the brain. And you will meet her soon. I think when you will be here in October, you will yes. be just, you know, finding out that this
well,
girl has
I've,
so
I've much heard key. Stephanie Mack's voice many times on the radio.
Oh, that's so sweet. Okay, Jonathan, I think we need to just start our show by great introduction with Voice of Beverly Hills.
I would like to give a great introduction with the Voice of Beverly Hills.
Okay.
All right, are you ready, Ian?
Yeah.
Our guest today is writer, director, and producer Ian Ayers, who produces documentaries with an edgy honesty that is hard to beat. From the Jill and Tony Curtis story, The Universe of Keith Harding, 5 Roads to Freedom from Apartheid to the World Cup, and several others, he's covered a wide array of subjects with clarity and taste. Most recently, Ian directed Tony Curtis, Drive to Stardom, featuring interviews with people who knew Curtis well, including Mamie Van Doren, John Gilmore, Hugh Hefner, Harry Belafonte, and others, along with film extracts, archive footage, and rare photos that highlight Tony Curtis's life and his career, giving fans a respectful glimpse into what made Tony Curtis a legend of the silver screen. This film premiered at the 7th Annual Jewish Film Festival in Los Angeles. It's a pleasure to have with us Ian Ayers from France. Hi, Ian.
Hi, thank you. That's really nice.
He has amazing voice. I always say he has an accent because he has
one.
I got
one. No accent. You got an accent.
Yes. Okay, Ian, although you are in Paris, you are really born in Hollywood, yes? You are a child of this earth, the Hollywood.
Yeah, world. I was born in Los Angeles and grew up in Southern California.
Yes, and, you know, again, we need to say, I think, first and foremost, hi to...
I'll call you back.
Okay, 1 second. Oh, we lost Ian. Okay.
Did we lose Ian?
I just maybe will continue that because the way how I just got introduced to Ian is just, again, very unusual. I have this wonderful friend. Her name is T. Tina Hall. And Tina Hall is writing interviews with very unusual people. I'm just trying to put together a book with her interviews, and hopefully we can soon buy the book and just read about a lot of wonderful artists that we maybe will find out that their lives is something that we need to learn something from. Anyway, she sent it to me link and she said, Ilona, you need to just read the bio about Ian. And obviously his filmography is very, very impressive, but this is not what really drawn me to his life. I just read the interview with Tina and Ian, and I just found out that this man is just a very unusual human being, a really, really gentle, very sensitive man who is, like Jonathan mentioned, first and foremost, poet. And then, you know, one day we decided to try to get him on the line and talk. We have Ian back?
Yes.
Oh, that's beautiful. Okay, Ian, I just try to explain our listeners how did I found you. And I just mentioned a little bit about Tina Hall. And I know that you would like to say hi to Tina officially.
Yes, I would love to say hi to Tina Hall.
And our relationship, and
I love her.
We all love Tina. Tina.
Somebody tell us who Tina is.
I just was telling this for the last 5 minutes.
Do tell us. must have been the accent.
She's just writing a wonderful blog and a wonderful. She has a great website, and she's doing a lot of interviews about amazing, amazing people, people from all around the world, about creativity, about poets, about painters, about rock musicians, about pop musicians. Her interviews are just very, very unusual, very personal. And your interview, Ian, with Tina was very, very special. I am really, and you are her fan too. I think this girl has something very unusual about her and way how she asks questions and way how she really makes a relationship with people that she wants to interview. Then I hope you love her. I know you like her, like I do also. Okay, then.
She goes very deep.
She goes very deep. Her life is very unusual, and we'll be talking a little bit later about much more serious stuff. For right now, Ian, I would like to introduce people maybe to a song that you wrote, and I think this was one of the first songs that you wrote. Okay, honey, Jonathan, can we just introduce?
This song? Is a song from Ian that Ian wrote. His songs go into his movies, and Ian, this is Under a Sheet that we're going to play. Right.
Okay.
We just need.
Tell me, has this been included in one of your films?
No. I never expected it to get on the radio. Actually.
Ian
it was my first one.
Ian sent us a bunch of songs, and said, "What do you like?" And we picked the one song that hasn't been in one of his films yet, and said, "This is fantastic."
Yep.
So I hope you like it too.
And Ian, I know I am starting this interview really lightly, and I'm very happy that we introduce another type of creativity, songwriting, and obviously you like to also write lyrics. And I just loved it because you wrote in your interview that you will prefer to write one hit song over a hit movie, which we'll come back to it. This is very, very unusual, but I am a songwriter. I know my desire to
create. Oh, Ilona, you're fantastic.
I know, and you know what?
I would love to do music like you.
No, then that's what I'm saying. This is the official day of just saying that we'll be working together on some cool song, and maybe we'll get both lucky and, you know, our dream can come true when Ian and Ilona will write a song, maybe for another movie or just for the radio. And
or maybe
you know what?
Ilona will do the movie and Ian will write the music.
That's, you know what? Everything is in
that would be wonderful.
Stephanie will broker it and Vladek will promote it.
And Vladek will promote on a film festival. We will be all set. Mm-hmm. Right now, let's listen to your song, okay?
But ladies and gentlemen.
Well, thank you very much.
Before we play this, and Ian, please stay on the line with us all the way through your lovely
wife. I'll hang in there, yeah.
For those of you who want a little more intrigue, when we come back, we'll find out many, many interesting things about Ian and his life. We'll find out about the shooting gallery, the carnival, the runaway, the abduction, the prostitution, the drugs. The whole thing is coming up because this is a Hollywood
story. Okay, I'll tell you it all.
Sounds
stay
like
tuned
a movie.
For Ian Ayers,
okay.
Right yes. Now under a sheet.
I love this song.
Remember, 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 remember.
Ian, are you there?
Well, I just want to tell Jonathan, you know, I'd like to do that with your wife. But, I mean, the remix of the song.
Carefully, Ian.
I think remix will be...
It really needs a remix.
Yes, you know, and I have some ideas with another melody on the top that we could really, really take the hook.
I think the lyrics are good.
Yes, and I think you have very good hook, you know. It's really rapid. I really like the song. It's something that's just unusual. Okay, then let's maybe with your own words. Can you describe us... very, very fast, if you can, because we have so many questions for you, and I know I will be having you back on the radio, talking to about certain issues. But right now, tell me your story. Fast story, move us forward from the age that you were four, your little tiny dream, your crazy little unusual life, little sad, little, I would say, very sad, and then your tiny dreams are turning into big dreams, and right now your life in France and your movie connection story, everything. Can you give us, I will give you 3 minutes.
Well, are you going to do the commercial for Child Health?
Yes, we'll get this closer to the end of the show. Obviously, we'll be focusing
on... Oh, it's at the end of the show.
Yes,
okay.
Child Health and a commercial, yes. But tell us a little bit, how did this happen that you are right now in France?
Well, that's a long story. I would rather talk about things to make people more aware of child abuse and helping children.
Yes.
All right, let's take
that are being abused.
Let's take a moment, and we'll go to a commercial from Michael Douglas, the film star, who has supported Child Help, the nation's largest organization for assisting abused children. We'll come right back after we hear from Michael Douglas.
Well, can I do a poem right before it?
Yes,
sure.
You can. I cannot wait. You lead us. I love it. I love it, baby.
Okay. It's called The Masseuse's Son.
Okay.
And it kind of it has to do with a certain trauma.
Yes.
And it goes, his mom's client hurried naked from her room, aroused, proof she's been doing more than massage. Or massaging more than backs, as if to confront all the petty people brought up by petty people who believe what they believe without questioning. The night a 9-year-old boy was shoved into a pool of his mother's blood and towels thrown at him to clean it up, clean it all up, don't leave a trace, the blood dripping from between his palms, her rocking back and forth naked on the edge, the boy at her bare feet, a beauty mark his focus. Her toenails painted the color the towels became. Her hands muffling the words, don't let it stain. The boy's sisters and baby brother crying behind him, feeling he's the oldest, and she killed the latest dad, whose fist they saw pounding her nose. Yet love pervades and turns blood into blossoms, fragrant, next to her bed where she rocked. Her perfume was all that caressed him, after she'd left for yet another night. The boy dreamed of becoming more than he'd held in with her blood. He didn't know this planet would not last, refused to get lost in other illusions. Her blood had blossomed on his hands, red roses had filled her room, and her bed was gaping.
Ian, it must be not easy for you to read your own words.
No.
I know. Ian, yes, I was trying to just go back to your childhood. I know that you are deeply caring about child abuse. And I didn't know that. I read, of course, Tina's interview, and obviously I know how personal this issue is. Although having this issue being so personal, you said that for you it's so important to just make this almost non-issue about you, and non-issue about so many children being abused. And I know that it's very, very, very important for you to just speak out loud, loudly. And us being in connection for almost a year with Child Help Organization and just working to spread the word about how children's life could be really hurt and how can be not hurt by anybody, they paint, the screams are silent for a lot of years. And although they need to live through this life, sometimes to the end of their lives, you know, and nobody wants to know what really happened to them. And I really am so happy that you allowed us to talk about seriousness of this issue. And your poem, obviously, is about that. I know that your brother and sister and you were abused by your own mother. You had really not easy childhood, and your demons till this day probably are in you. And, you know, and then I know you want to do something about it. Then having you here in the studio and right now listening to Michael Douglas' commercial and just his words about how to protect children from these horrible things to happen to them, and then talking to you back and thinking, can we do something together on this issue? I'll be just very, very happy to do that. Then let's listen to Michael Douglas and then come back to Ian.
I'm Michael Douglas, and I have a number for you to program into your child's phone and yours. 1-800-4-A-CHILD. It's the Child Help National Child Abuse Hotline. 1-800-4-A-CHILD provides a connection to professional counselors 24/7, which your child can use when they need to speak up and be safe. There's also a number a little boy called whispering from his closet to be rescued from a vicious attack. It's the number that any responsible adult, neighbor, teacher, or family member can call to get help reporting abuse or to get information. 1-800-4-A-CHILD is the number of hope. The Child Help National Abuse Hotline is funded solely by your contribution, so please text your $10 donation to CHLP to 20222. This gift may be the lifeline for that little boy in the closet, or even the emergency call that saves your child.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
You know, the children, they really need help from people because they don't know who to turn to.
Yeah, and especially when they're tiny and they're hidden in a closet or they're just hurt, you know, they cannot speak out for themselves. And, you know, I know that you want to be involved with Child Help organization. You would like to also maybe help with your talent and maybe create some documentary that, you know, we can just bring some stuff, you know, to the front and just let people see what's going on sometimes next door to us, you know, and behind the closed
doors. I think a lot of people have suffered through child abuse, and they're afraid to speak out. And we've got to start speaking out, you know, because there's a lot of children that are going through a lot worse child abuse than I have, and many of us have. I think most of us have been through different forms of child abuse. But it's really awful when you get murdered for wetting your bed. There was a 4-year-old girl who was murdered for wetting her bed. And my little sister, she was molested by my father, and she used to wet the bed, I believe, to keep him away. And I wonder about the little girl who was 4 years old, and she was murdered by her mother and her mother's boyfriend for wetting the bed at 4 years old. And I wonder if she was just trying to protect herself, you know?
Yeah. You know, and I know that you are a very creative person. I know that from this moment on, our roads crossed. I know that something is there bigger than life for all of us on this topic. I would like to make special 1 hour with you, and we will be creating already a vision what we can do together to just make this topic, you know, more important even in our lives, and just maybe create, like I said, documentary. I know you you know that Marilyn Monroe and Tony Curtis, they have something also to say about this issue.
Oh yeah, I would like to mention John Gilmore's book. John Gilmore,
yes.
He wrote a book called Inside Marilyn, and he says that Marilyn Monroe was sexually abused as a child, and she got slapped for telling her mother that a certain actor who had worked with Jean Harlow tried to molest her, or he did molest her. And John Gilmore told me over the phone that Marilyn's mother was very cruel to her daughter, and Norma Jean, that was Marilyn's real name, then used to hide in the closet to avoid the abuse. But then her mother had a breakdown and was taken to the mental institution.
Yeah. You know, Hollywood, this is something, this is a big word. Everybody says, oh, Hollywood is a great place, beautiful place when dream can I'm sure. But yeah,
it would be nice, huh?
You will be nice. But I also read in one of your letters, you said the line that people who want the fame, they sometimes are very wounded people. And you had this moment that you wanted to be famous, and you know, and right now, you come back to this, that the most important things in life is really to be loved and give love to people. And, you know, and when we start learning about biography of so many wonderful actors that we think outside they look marvelous and gorgeous and beautiful, but really they went through hell in their lives, you know. And then you ask the question why they want to be so visual, why they want to be so accepted, why they want to be so loved. Because sometimes they were not loved by the closest people that they're supposed to love them, you know. Okay, and I want to little bit to get our mood lighter, because I have Władek Juszkiewicz. Władek Juszkiewicz came specially to our studio to be with you for 1 second, and I know I mentioned to you that maybe we have some offer for you, and I hope you will say yes, but I want this to...
Something about the thing, the fame thing?
Yes.
I think that when you don't get the love you need in your childhood, when you're neglected and abandoned as a child, and you feel like you're not good enough for the love of your parents, that drives you to become good enough, and usually that leads to trying to become famous. And if you become famous, you think that then everyone will love me. And your real goal is to get your parents to love you.
Yeah.
But the problem is they never will. If they didn't in the first place, they never will. And that's the heartbreak. And I think that's what killed Marilyn Monroe. And I think that it really tormented Tony Curtis. And many famous people suffer because they thought they would get the love they needed by becoming famous. And that's not love.
Yeah. Do you think you can forgive your mama and dad what they did to you and your siblings?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you think you can forgive your parents all what they did to you?
Oh, forgiveness. Yeah, I think it's necessary to forgive your parents. For one thing, you know, they were abused as children too, and this is what I found out. And so they're just trying to resolve what happened to them with you, and they don't know any better. But you don't learn that until you get older and you start to understand. But it's difficult because there's a lot of anger and hurt. And the most painful thing is accepting the fact that they cannot give you the love you need, and they never will. And once you can accept that, you can free yourself. But you got to forgive them.
Yes.
Or you'll never be free.
You never will be free. But apropos free,
right?
Again, I'm coming back to maybe day that you will come to Hollywood, and maybe we all can meet face to face, and Władek can meet you, and Jonathan can meet you, and Władek is here, and
Stephanie
he wants to, and Stephanie will meet you because she's always
irrelevant.
With me. No, yes, it seems
no,
like you don't say
relevant.
Hi, but Władek would like to ask you something, okay, Ian? Okay, Władeczku?
Okay.
Ian, I saw your documentary and the biography that you made, a few documentaries already, and during our festival we screen features, animation, and documentaries, and we have a competition in those categories. And I was wondering if you will be willing to become board and become a juror of the documentaries.
How many? How many films do I have to watch?
There are 24,000, but most of them are short.
Very short.
Oh, no problem. I can do that in a day.
this all came off incorrectly. We're going to do this again.
Yes.
So Władek.
Okay.
Władek
is that again.
The director, the head, the conceiver of the Polish Film Festival. This is one of the most prestigious festivals in California. It's in its 12th year now?
13th
year. There was a 10 and a half, so I'm very confused about
that. Oh, no, I realized that. It's just
Hold on.
I think Jonathan
would ask how many films.
But you're being asked by one of the most influential festivals. This place in the past has taken over the Egyptian theater. Where are you for 10 days? Red carpets, global premieres. Where are you this year?
Still Egyptian Theater at the opening, and Lemley North Hollywood for the screenings.
Okay, so you've got 10 days of screenings?
10 days of screenings.
Okay, 10 days of screenings in Hollywood, on Hollywood Boulevard at the Egyptian with the opening, Searchlights, Global Media, and the man is sitting in our studio right now saying, Ian, will you be one of the jurors who will decide the fate of the winners of the 13th annual festival, international acclaim in the palm of your hands? And your answer to that is?
Yes.
How many films do I have to watch?
Oh, jeez.
I love
I'm sorry, but I'm being honest, you know?
Yes, we like it.
I mean,
yes, of course, everybody.
Are there a lot of films?
Ian, generally, those are not long documentaries. I'm trying always keep the documentary as a short one because people don't have much patience to stay on one subject too long. And other thing is that you will watch those films at home, not at the theater. So it's easier for you with your time and dedication to this subject. And like other festivals, generally.
Notice how Vladek just isn't answering the question of how many films there are.
Because
I'm very honest, and the reason I ask how many films is because I watch very carefully, and I concentrate, and I put all I've got into it. And if I do this, I'm going to put all I've got into watching each film and being totally fair and honest in my reactions and feelings about the film. So I'm just curious how many films there will be in general.
Generally, probably.
I don't want to promise for 1,000 films. So I don't know if I would survive.
No. There probably will be around 10 films, and all the films up to half an hour, 45 minutes. So there are not many, of course.
We have pre-selected
already.
I do feel
it's a great honor. Thank you very much for inviting me. It's a real honor, and I know the Egyptian Theater is right up there with the Grauman's Chinese Theater, or I think it's called Nan's Chinese Theater now. But 10 films, I could do that.
Yay!
Great.
We have official invitation, and I know.
And I will give it my complete focus, and I will give honest feedback on how I feel about them.
Great.
But I always wonder, you know, if the judges of films, you know, it's always coming from their point of view and how they feel, and so I always wonder about that.
Now you will be the
one. I will
one.
Be honest.
I know, that's why we
everything
need
is always personal. So
that's
so,
how that's everything.
Yeah, that's
the Grammys are that way, the Academy Awards are that way. It's all
that's
depends on who's
yeah,
doing.
Yeah.
But you know, you'll be having some influence on somebody else's life, and I hope we all will choose another.
Well, that puts the pressure on you, Lona.
I know, that's why I'm so gentle. I'm like, you will now decide life for another person.
And I do care about people, and I know how hard it is to make a film. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of special documentary because that's responsibility, big responsibility, you know, to do this right. But I know that you are in October, probably in LA also, which seems like maybe, you know, personally we can have you there. I know you don't like spotlight, but maybe you would come in person and for one evening. And obviously we would love to have your movie to be screened also about Tony Curtis. And maybe we can have guests, you know, maybe daughter will come, maybe wife will come. Maybe we just can make this really nice and very special for the audience that we are bringing to festival and just focus on Tony Curtis' life. That would be just very beautiful too. And I know that you are here in October because you will be doing another documentary and you are just filming Marilyn Monroe documentary, yes?
Yeah, Marilyn Monroe documentary. So we'll be out there doing more interviews. Hopefully Jane Fonda, she knew her when Marilyn was at the Actors Studio. But I wanted to get back to Vladek. I really appreciate his invitation and him being there. And it's a pleasure to speak with him. I tried emailing him, but I think I got blacked out by his filter or spam or whatever it is.
I get your email, but I was just waiting for today to talk to you and then...
Look at you.
I'm sorry they didn't respond, but I get it. I get that the other email was the films. I watch your film too, so.
We are like so the same wave right now. Okay, what do you think? We are talking a little bit about Tony Curtis. I really think we need to put some focus on the movie, but we have a song from this movie, yes? And do you think is the good time right now to listen to your song?
Why not?
Yes.
Here we go. Here's
wonderful.
Here's the Tony Curtis.
Here comes young hot Tony.
Hot.
From 2012. Here we go.
Here come young Tony, a beefcake in khaki, got sparkle eyes, driven to Stardom, out of New York City. Know him be a gang leader right from the slum. He won Teen Trendsetter, a total original. Got cool hairstyle, rebel boys got to copy. The first teen sex symbol. Sexy everybody had to see. Tony Curtis, a solid gold, on silver screen. Awesome teen icon, make girls scream and cream. Started pop culture, fit the nitty gritty. Caused a dude to wet his dream. Blame it on his pretty boy and lingerie. Tony Curtis, a solid gold, a silver screen. Valentino ready for a fling. Like a Houdini, some magic amazer. Hey, he said, do your own thing. Started it all, cause he a real trailblazer. Tony Curtis, a solid gold, on silver screen. Cool, hot Tony, hot Tony, hot, hot Tony, cool, hot Tony, Tony Curtis, Tony Curtis.
Listening to Ian Ayers, and that's Tony Curtis.
And I hope soon we'll be seeing on Polish Film Festival screening of your movie also, and hopefully we'll all meet in person. And I would like to also, can you tell us a little bit, because I know that it wasn't easy to get to this point that you decided to do a documentary about Tony Curtis. Somehow life gets you into these topics that you don't plan on doing, and then you're creating, you know, that just a really big part of life is included in creating documentary about Tony Curtis. Yes, this was probably a few years in the making, yes, from the first documentary to the second.
Yeah.
How does this start? Yeah, tell me about the beginning. You know, how did you meet Tony Curtis? I know, just you tell us, because I know.
You sound like the voice in my head. How?
How
did this happen?
She's the voice in my head, too.
How? Yeah, how?
It's not why?
Yeah, and we don't plan on anything, and one day, you know.
I really grew to love Tony. What happened was I was doing a poetry and creative prose anthology series called Bengazir, and I did the fifth volume was called the Celebrity Edition, with Marilyn Monroe's portrait on the cover and artwork, and I just asked everyone to contribute, and Tony had a website for his artwork, and so I sent an email asking if he would contribute to the edition, and he had an assistant that responded asking me to call. And so I called him, and he said that Tony would be glad to contribute, and he contributed a great piece about him and Marilyn Monroe during the making of Some Like It Hot, which might have led to that book he wrote. But he didn't go into as much in the piece as he did in the book. And anyways, that's another subject. But
I want you so much.
The book is really good, though. Anyways, the assistant said on the phone, he said, you know, you really ought to make a documentary. I see you're also a filmmaker, and you ought to make a documentary about their horse rescue, because Tony and his wife Jill Curtis, were rescuing horses from slaughter, and the horses were being slaughtered, young baby horses too. It's not just old horses. They were being slaughtered for people to eat in other countries. You know, it's a big money-making operation. And when I found out about that, I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do whatever it takes to stop that. Which is how I feel about doing the documentary to help stop the child abuse,
yes,
whatever I can. And so when I went out there, I went out there with my crew, you know, to film the documentary, the Jill and Tony Curtis story. And while there, I figured, well, why not ask Tony about his life? And he was hesitant. The film is really about, it's a study in fame, the cycle of fame and everything. What we discovered was that the desire for fame, like I said, was, you know, a desire for love that you didn't get in your childhood. And it was difficult to get him to open up on a real level, because usually he would kind of put on the persona in his interviews. And I told him, you know, I had a similar childhood. You know, I didn't feel loved in my childhood. I was always the new kid in school. And he opened up, and we got the real Tony there. His real name is Bernie Schwartz. And he opened up, and it got really intense. And after that, you know, we were like, you know, we got to pursue this and do the film about his life and career and everything. And then I was in the middle of editing it. I wanted him to be at the premiere. I was doing it for him when he died. And so it was very painful to continue after he had passed away at the end of September.
But you are continuing, you know. And I know his dream was to get Oscar. He wanted to be just recognized by everybody, because we loved him so much. I was just joking with you a little bit, but yeah, I'm getting a lot of emails, and one of them today came from Harry Towers, who is amazing radio record promoter, and he just said this was the biggest crush of his life, Tony Curtis. You know, and he was. I loved him. He was my crush, you know. Then, you know, we have people who are just, they were in love with this man. He created our memories, our vision, you know, about how men can act, who he could be, or just, you know, the romantic story that he was playing, the movie. It's just, it's a great old Hollywood star, and you are keeping him alive, and I think that's your mission.
an amazing talent. And what surprised me, what really got me motivated, at first it was just going to be a film about the cycle of fame. We have a psychologist who wrote books about the fame thing, you know, and the lives of celebrities. But when I found out that the whole youth movement began with Tony Curtis, and he was in the first teen rebel movie ever made, City Across the River, in 1949. All the boys started copying his hairstyle, even girls too. It was amazing. But he had such an impact. I thought James Dean started it all. And I was a big James Dean fan. And then when I found out that Tony wasn't given the credit he deserved for starting the whole youth movement, and it was going to James Dean just because James Dean died young, although he was a tremendous actor, I admire him greatly. But Tony really does deserve the credit. He was the first teen rebel.
Yes. Gorgeous man, stylish man, great actor, beautiful human being, and a life that I cannot wait to just show the movie and just focus on his life again. And because of you, we'll know him more, and then we'll be... hopefully soon seeing another movie documentary about Marilyn Monroe life. You know, you have some mission you probably don't even know, but I think you are on the road into something. You know, you are carrying this old Hollywood stories, you know, into what Hollywood is right now. And I think if you want or not, you know, this is pretty strong, you know. And I have also Wadek was telling me that yes, his heart is really into spreading the word about how to protect children from child abuse. In Krakow, in Poland, Krakow, we had a film festival, and maybe you mentioned, Władek, we are coming back to this sad story, but all these people that we are talking about, they really, you know a lot about child abuse. But yeah, you mentioned...
Yeah, just yesterday in Krakow, the film festival ended. And there is a film which won the best film award. It's about it's child abuse, the pedophilia, and the child is abused, and then the percussion, and then he grows, and then finally he decided it's not enough. The guy who abused him wasn't punished enough, and he became the abuser of the guy who abused him. So. We will screen the film as a part of the documentary.
And if we can put together a child help organization and just, you know, focus on our American child organization, non-profit organization, if we can really screen and bring the movie from Poland, if we, me and you and us, can create some type of documentary about child help, you know, and I somehow think we have some amazing thing to say. And Jonathan is pointing at me that we are getting closer to end of our show, but Ian, you need to promise me that you will be back, because we try to cover just a little bit here and there and here. You know, I want to make this more theme or topic oriented, because I think we just need to spend more time together. What do you think? Is this okay?
I look forward to seeing you. I'm going to be out there in October.
Yes.
And it'll be great to see you and Jonathan and Radik. I would love to.
And Stephanie.
Where's Stephanie?
Stephanie, say hi. Right here.
Stephanie's a spy.
Hi, Stephanie.
Ignored. It's fine. I'm
yes. And you know, you didn't. I know I need to be very fast, but you need to meet also Fauna Hodel, which you will find her. Very, very amazing. She has also a story about child abuse. She's producing right now a movie, was produced, but it will stop. And she has a many connection even to Black Dahlia. And her life story is just the most
and to Tony
scary.
Curtis.
And to Tony Curtis, she was selling his art for many, many years. She was in his house and she knows his family. And, you know, I was hoping she can call in today to say hi to you, but we had some problems with that. Then I think next time, I think before even you come to L.A., and we'll be, of course, working together before October. But, you know, I'm sure I will introduce you to Fauna, and we can talk more and more about Tony Curtis and your future projects. Okay?
Ian, if somebody okay. wants to look at your world, your work, understand you a little bit better, what's the best web reference for our listeners?
Gosh, I don't know.
You Google Ian, I-A-N, Ayers.
Well, there's another Ian Ayers.
We don't.
Don't Google that one. Google ours.
I think the best thing is to listen to this.
You are so sweet. You are right. But we will be posting links to interview.
Accent on.
Yes, and we'll be
Accent on is right on.
Yes, and we'll post the links on LA Talk Radio under Accent On. Our interview will be there ready for downloads. We also, people who want to download from iTunes, they can see and they can listen to us. But we'll have our links, and I think if somebody wants to get in touch with you, they will find a way. But I'm sure I'll be having you soon again on the radio.
Well, I'd like all the people out there that were abused as children and feel they're all alone in the world to know that they're not alone, that they are loved.
And we will make even more sure that we will be speaking out loudly.
Let them know about
this team, and we'll make a note, and we are here to do that, and I think we'll be speaking very loudly. Love you, Ian. You probably need to go to sleep. It's 4 in the morning in France.
Yes, it's time to go to sleep.
Time to go to sleep. Say hi to Eric. Say hi to Eric from us, and thank you so much for staying so long and talking to us, and we'll be having you soon on the radio, okay?
It's been a pleasure and an honor.
Thank you.
Ian Ayers. Vladik Yuskevich.
Ilana Europa, Stephanie Mack.
My tongue.
And Jonathan Tan. Love you. Say hi
everybody.
To Paris from us.
Bye.
Okay, hi, Paris. Lots of love.
Bye-bye.
Take
lots
care.
Of love. Thank Bye-bye. You so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.